Okay, everybody, welcome back once again to Tech Gumbo. I'm your host, Haggai Davis the second, along with Haggai Davis the third. And we would like to welcome you into Tech Gumbo. It's where we like to talk about all things technology, but we do so in a relevant and interesting way with the occasional laugh. We don't use geek speak or a bunch of acronyms. We just want to talk about things that are important to you and important to us, and do it in a conversational way as we talk about all things past, present, and future of technology in an interesting and topical and digestible way. This program is brought to you by HomeBank. When it comes to your money, convenient access is absolutely essential. Our friends at HomeBank understand that. That's why HomeBank is constantly upgrading, improving, and releasing new technology. The tools you need to manage your finances, simple and straightforward. With free online banking and e-statements and a mobile app that can deposit checks in seconds, you will have the tools you need to keep track of your expenses wherever you are. Plus, HomeBank offers support for their technology in the form of real local bankers. And if you prefer to bank in person, that's more than okay. Visit one of their 40 locations in Louisiana and Mississippi. HomeBank has the tech you expect and the service you deserve. Visit them online, home24bank.com. HomeBank is a member of the FDIC and is an equal housing lender. So, Mr. Davis, let's talk some tech gumbo.
Absolutely. It's another great day for it.
We'll start off with our friend Elon Musk. We love to talk about Elon and Tesla and Starlink. And apparently, just a few years back, not everybody wanted to talk to him.
Yeah. So, you know, in the past 2-3 years, the Tesla company has made a whole bunch of money. But back somewhere in 2017, things were looking pretty rough. If you remember, there was questions about whether or not Tesla could produce enough cars, questions as to whether or not what they were trying to do was even possible or realistic. And Elon Musk even tried to sell. He tried to call Tim Cook from Apple and tried to, you know, pitch Apple to buy Tesla. And Cook wouldn't even take the phone call.
What makes matters worse, at the time, Tesla was only worth about $60 billion. It's worth $600 billion now. So if Tim Cook takes that phone call and he buys Tesla for a steal at the time, of course, at the time, it probably looked kind of shady, and maybe we were going to, you know, I could understand him saying, "Oh, hey, Elon, how you doing? Yeah, great. How the kids? Good. Yeah, mine too. Okay. No, we're not interested." But you at least take the phone call.
Yeah, that's the shocking part. Because, okay, you know, even if you're ultimately going to end up telling him no, maybe you poke around a little bit. See, can we buy a piece of Tesla? You know, Tesla's been doing their battery technology. Who doesn't love better batteries? This is a technology which could be applied in so many different places, and it's just shocking that Apple didn't at least do some homework on this.
I mean, Apple is trying to create their own autonomous vehicles. They're going to become a direct competitor to Tesla, and why not have at least explored the opportunity of taking everything that everyone at Tesla had built and putting that into your systems? That just makes no sense to me why they wouldn't even talk to them.
Oh, absolutely. Especially because the Apple self-driving car project is not especially known to be doing well. It's been highly under wraps. It's known to have changed a couple times. If you could have had the Apple Tesla car, and you put the Apple software inside of the Tesla car, and they're both kind of futuristic, sleek corporations. They appeal to similar demographics. This just makes so much sense. And to not even get the phone call, it's just a decision which already looks bad and will continue to look worse.
I didn't even think about the idea of just having the Tesla run on Apple software. You're running, you're an iTesla at that point. Mm-hmm. I mean, oh my God, what a missed opportunity.
It's truly baffling and just continues to show how much Apple misses Steve Jobs.
Yeah. Moving along, thanks to a law that was signed last January, your internet service provider can no longer charge you for using your own router.
This is something that is frustrating that it even has to exist as a law, but I am thankful that exists. Basically, an ISP could, your internet service provider, could send you a bill for renting you a router, even if you had your own router. So no matter what, you just got a bill for renting a router from the ISP, even if you had your own. And it was just another way for them to nickel and dime you, and there was nothing that said they couldn't. You were just forced to take this deal. And now, thankfully, the law was signed in December. It is now illegal.
So, you know, I had done that a number of years back. I'd looked at my cable bill, and there was a $10 per month charge for a router. So I went to Best Buy and I bought a $75 router and called Cox and said, hey, you know, I've got my own router. Here's your router. I brought it back to them and I made them take it off my bill. And I guess they were just good guys and they did so. They didn't have to apparently until December 20th when this law went into effect.
And we do actually suggest you as an individual go out and do that, because a good router is somewhere between 50 and 70 bucks. And so for you to own it, and so if they're going to charge you 10 bucks a month, that means inside of 6 months, you'll be breaking even. And if you have a 2 year or 3 year old router, you've saved a tremendous amount of money. It's going to be a better piece of hardware. It's going to be more reliable, more stable, faster. You know, anything that you can do to improve your experience and to not just be throwing money out the window, this is a step forward for us.
And just your home base cable router, the actual router, does not change its hardware that very often. The updates are very, very infrequent. And, you know, it is a good idea to, when you're setting it up, to have it do the automatic updates. And if you set it up to where it runs automatic updates, then you just set it and forget it. And that's a good thing. But even if you went out once a year and bought a brand new router, it's still cheaper than renting the one from your internet service provider.
Yeah, we normally advise, you know, about 3 years, maybe 5 years in between updating them. But either way, go out, get your own, and save yourself all the money.
And now if you're wanting to, you know, so like I bought my own modem here, you know, that routes everything. And then, you know, I have our router. I think I might have spent 180 bucks on our router, but it's because it's our Wi-Fi router as well here in the house. And it's a more high-end system that, just because I'm a geek and I like, you know, new toys, but you don't have to have spent that much money. And so even if you do, you know, spend $180, in under 2 years, you've still saved money. And so go get your own router. Listen, we have some past shows where we have talked about which routers are best and for which capabilities. And it's been a year or two since we've done that. We may look into doing that here in the future.
That would be a solid segment. So, speaking of new laws that have come from the FTC and FCC recently, the FCC has finally decided that in-flight voice calls are no longer allowed.
This is such a good thing. I hate having sat on, and they haven't really had many phones on planes for a while, but you'd be sitting there in the middle of your flight, and if you're three seats on one side of the plane, three on the other, the middle of the back of the middle chair, and that was right in front of you, would have a phone. And somebody could pull that phone out swipe their credit card and start calling and yakking and just having this big old conversation about whatever. And it was just annoying to have to listen to. And so the FCC, apparently they got tired of listening to other people's phone calls and said, no more.
Yeah, and it was not a traditional cell phone call. It was a type of call that you went through whatever the airplane carrier's system was. You bounced off of their satellites into the main network. And so you've never been able to use your personal device, but now you can't even use the system that they put in place. Some companies like Delta never even offered it. Delta said ahead of time, no, this is only going to be problematic. This is only going to annoy people. We are not putting up with it.
And it was not on every plane. It was only on, you know, the bigger planes. And you couldn't use your phone. You couldn't make a call until you got to at least 10,000 feet. And it was very expensive. I mean, it was like 10 bucks to initiate the call and $1 a minute or some astronomical, you know, number. So good riddance to it. Glad we don't have to sit through that. So that if and whenever we can all fly again on a regular basis, we won't have to worry about that.
Absolutely.
But one of the things that everyone does enjoy is listening to music. And so for the you younger generations, like such as yourself, who love your Spotify, the music streaming service Pandora is the system that everyone needs to really say thank you to.
Absolutely. Pandora is where I started before I went to Spotify. I want to say I first created a Pandora account in 2007, maybe 2008, somewhere in that time frame, and spent probably 5 or 6 years on it before I swapped over to Spotify. But the Pandora Music Genome Project is what built the software, and it was the idea that you could go through and categorize each individual component of a song. And so it'd be things like strong male vocalists, clear lyric pronunciations, the rhythm, the time scheme, you know, different instrumentations that were used, different musical techniques that were used. And each song was composed of a lot of these different components. And if you liked, you know, a lot of these components, they would say, okay, well, let's find a song that has a similar, you know, subset of components and see if you like that one too.
So I first started using Pandora, way back when, and just fell in love with it. You know, just it would suggest a song, and you could either thumb up, like it, or thumb down and not like it. And you know, there was a free service that would play an ad every 15 minutes, or for $4 a month, no ads. And so for $4 a month, or, you know, 48 bucks a year, you got all the music you could ever imagine that you like. And it knows, it learns what you like, and you can create different channels. So if you're a Frank Sinatra fan, it'll play music from that genre of Frank Sinatra stuff. If you like Elvis Costello or the Go-Go's or you know, one of the modern day, you know, artists, if you like that kind of music, okay, it's going to suggest something similar to that, not quite the same. Maybe one, you know, if you like Frank Sinatra, maybe you like Barbra Streisand. If you like Blink 182, maybe you like, you know, I mean, pick a group.
Sum 41. I was yeah, waiting to see if you could actually name something that was.
Yeah, I showed my age. Sorry. but you know, so it's been great. I really, really love my Pandora. I never switch away from it. I know you went to Spotify, and that's great. I mean, Spotify does have its benefits. I have a Spotify account. I actually listen to podcasts on Spotify.
I think the biggest way that I think about the difference between Spotify and Pandora is that Pandora is much similar, much more, it's a lot like an old radio station, wherever, you know, it would play songs and you could, you know, tell if you liked or didn't like it, but Pandora really doesn't give you the ability to say, I want to listen to this whole album by this artist. I want to listen to this one particular song.
Actually, they do have that now. Pandora does have that capability.
Okay, that's newer than that. I haven't been as involved in the service, but originally, whenever it was operating, right, you know, you could influence it in certain ways, but part of their license structure was that you could not pick a certain one, whereas Spotify is much more, you know, tell me exactly what you want to listen to. Spotify does have some of the similar radio stations where you can thumb up, thumb down, and it does have automated playlist generation. And so it has put its own spin or flavor on what Pandora does, but it's much more, I think, the difference between just how my generation thinks about, I want to be in control of what I'm listening to right now, as opposed to, I'm going to just turn on a station and let it dictate to me what is happening.
And what's really cool about Pandora is it started off as humans, people actually listening to all these songs and scoring them and giving grades and comments and marks. Now it's certainly machine learning, and it's all the modern day technology to listen to music and come up with all the different attributes as to how it identifies its music. But it started out just, okay, here you go, Fred and Martha, y'all go over there, and Jim and Sally, y'all listen to these songs, and everybody just start writing things down about the songs.
Yeah, and that's really, it makes sense that that's what you had to do, because there wasn't the software to sit there and listen to songs and pull all the data out. It really shows how much effort went into all these sorts of things. But it's super cool, and it really has created a whole new music experience that would not exist today if it wasn't for the Music Genome Project and for Pandora.
Yeah, so if you're not familiar with Pandora, if you haven't been using it, give it a try. If you've moved on, if you like Spotify, that's great too. I mean, they're both great systems. One not better than the other. One, they do slightly the same thing, slightly differently. And highly recommend both of them.
Absolutely. Lastly, we want to talk about some new FAA drone rules. They have implemented some new rules so that if you are a small pilot, you know, and you want to go fly a drone out, you now have to broadcast some additional information about yourself, about your location, and about the drone's location, so that if someone needs to, you know, do some analysis to figure out some backtracking, they can, you know, pinpoint who you are and where you are.
A lot of these rules come out because these drones start showing up near airports. And you see, you know, you're landing your 757, and you're the pilot looking out your window, and there's a drone 200 feet to your right, and it's not supposed to be there. Well, the FAA now is saying, if you're going to fly that drone, we've got to know who you are.
Yeah.
And we got to know where you're standing, where that controller unit is. And so that way, if we need to come talk to you, we know where to go look.
And this is exactly the sort of rules that we support. This is how you keep up with a very quickly evolving industry. This is how you be proactive, because we don't want to end up in a situation where 2 years from now, some drone does something really awful and the government has to scramble to put all the pieces together. Now you can sit there and ping the drone and say, hey, you know, where is your controller? Let's go immediately make this change. This is very much building a framework of rules which will allow the FAA to keep up with this very fast evolving industry.
And this is a good thing, because I haven't spoken to our friend Grant Gilliatt, who is, you know, who represents the Drone Pilots Association, but I would imagine they are very much in favor of this whole idea.
Right. They want to have rules which allow the industry to function in a healthy and safe place. They want guidance. They want some structure so that it's not just a bunch of Yahoos out there. They want it to be professional. They want it to be organized. Safe, yes. Because they want people to trust drones. They want to make sure that whenever you see a drone, you aren't, oh no, what's happening? You're like, oh, someone has done their homework. There are rules in place making sure that everything comes out right.
There are people who are making their living as drone pilots, and these people want to know that you can have comfort that they're doing everything the right way. And so that if you're this amateur, you know, pilot, you have limitations as to where you can go with your drone and where you can fly it. You've got to know the rules, and you have to participate with those rules the right way. If you're not, you're making it safe, unsafe for everybody. So right. Good on the FAA. This is a good thing.
Yeah, we're going to enforce the rules to make sure that everything works properly. If you enjoyed our show, we are here on Talk 1073 FM every Saturday at 4 p.m. And the show will rerun Sundays also at 4 p.m. You can check out the entire conversation again in the podcast section of Talk 1073 FM, talk1073.com in the blogs and on-demand tab, as well as check out older versions of the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, Google Music, Amazon, Deezer, and a whole bunch of other of the Spotify or of the podcast streaming platforms.
We do also want to thank EMCO Technologies for sponsoring our show. EMCO, for all your business computer network needs, whether it's Office 365, cybersecurity concerns, moving to the cloud, managing your network is what we do. So give us a call, 225-925-8900, EMCO Technologies. You can also find us on the web at emcotechnologies.com. If you like our show, if you have any suggestions, let us know. We're on Twitter and Facebook. We're at Tech Gumbo Show. Or you can text us at 225-255-0431. You've been listening to Tech Gumbo on Talk 107.3 FM.